All right, if you would please, Ezekiel chapter 3. We're just going to look at two verses today. And though it's a small portion of Ezekiel chapter 3, the lessons are very important. I know that you know a lot about the subject of the need to be alone, the need we have for a solitary season. Some people are social butterflies. They're antsy, they're nervous, they're uncomfortable until they get around other people. You see them all the time on their cell phones on the highway, their cell phones while they're walking around. Social butterflies, people that are afraid to be still. And I think it has to do somewhat, too, with the fact that the scripture says, "Be still and know that I am God." And so people have to go to sleep at night with the TV on or with music on or until they had a tranquilizer or two and it knocks them out to go to sleep is because there's something about a still hush. There's something about quietness. There's something about a solitude that unless you're seeking it for the purpose of getting close to God, they're seeking it for the purpose of trying to figure out a problem, figure out a relationship. People often don't see the value of solitude. There was a song a long time ago called "Silence is Golden." We even had a proverb about it. I knew a man up in Oregon, a godly Christian man, who said, the greatest power he has in conversing and in dealing with others is knowing the power of silence, knowing when to be quiet, knowing when to pause before he says something important. We live in a fast-paced society. Believe me, California is very fast-paced. Everyone seems to want everything right now, all around the country. But here in California, everything's moving so fast, hardly anybody takes time to say hi to anybody. And I remember going from Arizona, which I thought Phoenix, Arizona was pretty fast-paced, till I got up to Oregon. Everybody's got a story, and you've got to have a while there to listen to their story. And they might tell you that story several times, every time changing it just a little bit, till you learn a little bit more. If you go to the South, unless maybe you're a big city like Atlanta and some of the office buildings, everything's a lot slower than here in California. Oregon, traffic moves slower. People aren't in such a rush and such a hurry to get one place to another. And so there's less frustration, there's less stress, there's less anxiety. If you go to visit folks in South Carolina or Alabama, you got to be willing to calm down for a spell. You can't just be rushing one place or another, thinking of one thing or another. Life's a lot slower. You know, to them, making sure the sun tea has been out in the sun long enough is an art. It's they wait patiently for it. And here we get stressed if we have to stop at a red light. You know, it's a fast-paced place we live in. We need seasons to reflect. We need to take serious time alone and in quiet to examine our hearts and lives, you know, where we are. How do I deal with this person? What do I want? What is God's will for me around the corner? What's ahead of me? You know, these are things we should consider, that we should meditate about our life. We should reflect on our relationship with God. When was the last time that I really prayed? When was the last time that I claimed a promise from His Word? When was the last time I actually sat down to praise Him and thank Him and count my blessings and tell Him I love Him and tell Him, "Thank you again, Lord, for saving me." You know, to take these times are so important, our relationship with God and our relationship with each other. When was the last time you told your loved one, your family member, you know, "Hey, I really love you. I'm so thankful that God put you in my life." You know, I've been thinking a lot about all you've meant to me over the years. And maybe bring up a couple of the things that you've thought about that really are special. But no, we're too busy with things that aren't really as important as we think they are a lot of times. We need to, like the disciples, when they were mending the holes in their fishing nets, to take time aside away from the business and cares of life. The world will conform us if we get in a hurry, if we get to where we don't realize our need of solitude. It'll conform us to its shallowness, its entertainment, its flippant attitudes about eternity, its flippant attitudes about God, its flippant attitudes about the importance of family. If we desire a heart conviction of gospel truth, I mean to where it's not just something we assent to that we know is real, but a heart conviction of gospel truth to where it's alive in us, we have to take that solitary time for it. We have to brush off all the cares of this world and say, what does this truth really mean to me? Am I willing, because of what Jesus has done, to take time to walk with him in his word, to take time to let him know how much I love him in prayer? If you want a love for gospel truth, if you want to be a living expression of Jesus before others, then you'll need to do what all the others in the Bible have done, and that is to take and make seasons of solitude. You say, well, I don't have any time when I get up in the morning. Well, then do what I do. Get up a little bit earlier. Make time. The Bible says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. You know, a lot of times while the disciples slept, and before the sun rose, Jesus was already on the mountainside praying. And he was the busiest man who ever walked on the face of the earth. He took up great labors. People were already, when he went to Jerusalem, the Bible tells us at 6 a.m., crowds were already there to hear him teach and preach. And then from Nicodemus, when did he meet Jesus? He met him in the garden at midnight, and Jesus was still awake. And that's where we read the great verse that Jesus himself said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It was spoken to a single person at midnight. And so we need our rest, but we need seasons to where we can reflect and remember and think. You know, people don't even realize that great wise saying, know thyself. They don't even take the time to know themselves. All they're thinking about, a double cheeseburger I want, that double size Big Gulp at 7-Eleven, and this and that over here, and oh, there's the big game tonight, and everything else. Isn't there a lot more important things than those things? Know yourself. The best way to know yourself is get alone with Jesus. When you go home, you say, I don't know how to get alone with him. Well, do you have a favorite chair at your house or favorite place you like to sit? Don't sit there. Sit in another place and say, Lord Jesus, you can have my favorite seat. I want to talk to you about some things. And I want you to help me think right. My mind's all over the place. Lord, help me to think about what's important. And so the duty of solitary seasons. Let's look at this in Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 22. Remember, Ezekiel has seen these visions. He has received this call, these magnificent visions of beautiful things. And he's sat by the river Kibar among the captives. And he's got a heart full of compassion for people, even though they're rebellious and a sinful people, a stubborn people who won't repent and turn back to the Lord. He has a compassion and a pity for them because he knows if it weren't for the grace of God, there he would be too. But for the grace of God, his eyes have been opened, his heart has been opened. He's seen the glory of God. He realizes, I could have been one of those people. And so after God calls him and says to him to speak my word, it says in Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 22, after all these things have happened, then God says what? Verse 22. Then the hand of, or Ezekiel says, and God will say something too. Then the hand of the Lord was upon me there, and he said to me, arise, go out into the plain, and there I shall talk with you. So I arose and went out into the plain, and behold, the glory of the Lord stood there, like the glory which I saw by the river Kibar, and I fell on my face. Heavenly Father, bless your word to our hearts now in Jesus' name. Amen. The duty of solitary seasons. God said to him, arise, go out into the plain. In other words, get some alone time now, Ezekiel. We need to talk to you. You need to be alone so you can hear my voice. And so the place is indifferent. It's wherever you can be alone. But if you can be alone in the corner of a Starbucks store, if that's a place that you can go, that's where you should go. The place is indifferent. It could be your private bedroom. It could be out in the woods or out by Big Bear or somewhere. It could be in an open field. Where can you be alone? The Bible says, enter your room and shut the door. Pray to your Father, which is in secret. Go to your closet, where you can be alone. The Bible says, meditate on your heart, meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. It says that in the Psalms. You talked about a place called Selah this morning. It's interesting that the word Selah means meditate, rest, consider, reflect. It's a part in the Psalms where the singing would stop. We go on to the next verse, but actually the singing in the temple would stop. And the people were to think on those words that they were just singing about. Or that situation that's described as a place to rest within the song and meditate, reflect, consider. So the place is indifferent wherever you can be alone. Try to make it a place not where you're going to fall asleep. Like if this is your favorite easy chair, I'm going to sit back here and I'm going to think on it and you're gone. So make sure it's a place that you'll be able to stay awake. The examples in the scripture for this are very many. God's servants, Abraham, they're listed. You can read about them. It's just said in a sentence and we pass it by. But it says about Abraham that he rose early in the morning and walked with God. They went alone to a field sometimes, like Isaac. Isaac was out in the field and he was talking with God as the sun was about to set. When Rebekah was brought to him on a camel, his bride, his wife, first time he saw her, he had been out in the field talking to God. And others like Daniel went to their rooms. Daniel went to his room after a busy day, all day at the palace. He would find three break times. He would make three break times where he would go to his room and be alone with the Lord. The favorite spot for a young man named Nathaniel was underneath a fig tree. Fig trees have big leaves. It was good shade. And Nathaniel could find a place where nobody could see him and he wouldn't see other people. He would be alone with God. And while he was there, It was Jesus himself who came to Nathanael and told him, thou art a true Israelite indeed, and told him what he had been thinking and what he had been praying about. And Nathanael knew it was God himself in human flesh. But he was alone when that happened, when Jesus met him. Another one. The Bible says, well, let me give you a list of those who are said to get up early in the morning to before other people were up to be with the Lord. Abraham, Moses, Joshua, Samuel, David. David made three times a day, like Daniel did, to be alone with God. Evening and morning and at noon, will I pray and say, and cry out loud, and he shall hear my voice. He shall hear my voice, evening and morning and at noon. You might not be able to do that, but you can make a little time in a day. Maybe you can grab a half hour earlier that you wake up, get your coffee ready, And the sun may be getting ready to come up at a certain part of the house, or you can see out the window. And you open up God's Word, or you open up your heart to God and say, Lord, I don't know what today is going to hold, but I don't have the wisdom today without your help. Be with me. Give me your wisdom. Give me your strength. Help me not to make you embarrassed or ashamed of me by something I say or something I do. Lord, help me to please you. I can't do this, Lord. I can't make it alone. I need your grace. I need your strength. I need your wisdom. Help me when I open my mouth not to stick my foot right into it. Help me be a good witness. Even if I don't have a chance to talk to anybody, Lord, let them see that you live in me. Amen. And so, before the Lord uses a servant richly, before he's going to use Ezekiel, before Ezekiel has preached a word, God says, come and be alone with me, and I'll talk to you. The Lord uses a servant richly. Before he uses them, he takes them to the desert of solitude. Moses was kept in the wilderness, feeding sheep, a shepherd of sheep, for 40 years before God called him at the burning bush to do the great mission in his life. 40 days, Moses went up onto a mount, Mount Sinai, and met with God. He did that twice. David spent 7 years in the wilderness before God made him king. Elijah was 3.5 years before God used him to pray and bring down the rain and bring down the false gods of Israel. John the Baptist, it is written of him, it says of him, the child grew and became strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his manifestation to Israel. Paul wrote this, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. But I went into Arabia and returned to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem. Amen. And of course, our great Messiah, our great Master, the great Son of God, our Savior, spent 40 days in the wilderness. Right after he was baptized, went 40 days into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. After that, he came preaching the gospel. After that, he came ministering to the people. He was up on the mounts early in the morning. He was resorting to Gethsemane often for times of prayer and meditation. Now, if our Lord Jesus, who is sinless, pure, perfect, made time for prayer, if he who could not sin, who is free from temptation, if he needed that solitude, how much more should we spend as much time in quiet with God, who are sinners, who need his wisdom, who need his strength, who need this zeal of heart to live for him, devote ourselves to him, to live for something higher than just putting food in the mouth and spinning our wheels and doing the same thing over and over and being happy without really being in contact with God, without really having the breath of heaven upon us, without knowing that we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit and enjoying the power of the gospel, the good news of Jesus in our life. And so the duty of solitary seasons, before you can get your, how would you say, your bearings straight, you have to have the time to check the compass. You just can't be running around like crazy and get anywhere. You need direction. And that direction comes by the Holy Spirit. Secondly, we see here in this passage in Ezekiel the blessings of solitary seasons. There are blessings of spending time alone with God. There are blessings of asking God, saying, Lord, what can I do to please you? Where's my life headed? Lord, let me consider in the light of your presence now my circumstances. And so the blessings. First of all, the creator of the universe, the one who bled and died and was punished in your place, the one who bore your sins, your sorrows, your hell, he will speak with you. Notice in verse 22, arise, go into the plain, and there I shall talk with you. That he would spend time speaking to us, reminding us of his word, speaking to our hearts about his goodness and our need of him and so on. The Bible tells us in the New Testament book of James, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. The great God of the universe is waiting to walk with you and talk with you. But you're too busy with all this this sound and all these people and all these things that aren't that important at all compared to the scheme of your life. And you're passing by the fact that God will speak to your heart. That God will speak to you through his word. That God will make things that come alive. I remember one morning I was in a situation, and it was many years ago now, where I came to my Bible reading into the psalm, and it talked there about being pavilioned and kept away from your enemy's tongue. And I went to work that day, little that I had known for some days ahead of time. People that I had worked with, people that called themselves Christians, were using their tongue to set a trap for me. And as I walked into the boss's office, it became clear that people that said they were Christians, people that went to church, didn't like me because they felt bad about their life when they were around me. And so, to make a long story short, God had already spoken to my heart that morning, an hour and a half before I went into that meeting. And I was in perfect calmness. And I was in perfect... It didn't stress me at all. Now, it did irritate me. But then I just said, you know, they're not going to live in my head rent-free. So you can have this. You can enjoy this grace and this strength and this help. But you're going to have to go to God alone. Spend time with him in your life. God says this in his word, I will be found by you when you seek me with your whole heart. God isn't hiding from you. You're not seeking him. God is not distant from you. You're distant from him. Run to him. Go to him. Could there be a greater blessing than him speaking to your heart and his mercy and grace and assuring you that your sins are gone, assuring you that his love is so great for you that you could never imagine it? We can't imagine his great love. He so loved you that he gave his only begotten son. How much did the Father love his son? And he loved you so much, he gave him for you. When was the last time that we really sat down and thought about it for 15 minutes? And so, there's this blessing that comes from it. He'll speak to your heart. When Elijah had grown weary, when Elijah had grown exhausted, and he saw that God pour down fire from heaven on a sacrifice filled with water, the trench around it filled with water. And then that day Jezebel says, I'm going to get you, Elijah. And he got scared of her. After seeing what God had done, how God fed him for 3.5 years beside the brook Cherith and with a widow of Zarephath, and how that God was he poured fire from heaven on the sacrifice. And he heard the thousands of Israel fall down and say, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Later that day, Elijah, I'm going to get you. And he's scared to death. And he runs and he runs. And God doesn't speak to him for 40 days because he's trying to run away in the wilderness. And then after God, he's worn himself out, God speaks to him as he's still. God speaks to him. And he says to him, you need some rest, Elijah. And you need some food. And then the one time God sends the great earthquake and Elijah sees it. But he doesn't hear from God. And he sees the great winds blow and tops of trees are flying around. But he doesn't see God. But remember what it was? We heard from God? A still, small voice. Not in the great winds, not in the quakes, but in the stillness and the calm. The sweet Holy Spirit of God speaks to his heart. Rise now, Elijah, and go for me. And immediately he's restored and the strength comes. How did God comfort Jacob with his promises and give him a fresh vision of the Lord Jesus while he was alone in the wilderness? When he was afraid of his brother Esau, and he said, I go to be alone, and he crossed over the brook, remember? Then he wrestles the angel. He comes back with a limp, with his hair all messed up, probably a couple scrapes and bruises here and there, but a smile on his face. And he faces his brother, who had vowed to kill him, with the perfect peace of God. This is the place of happiness. In his presence is fullness of joy. The Lord's presence is a place of comfort. Remember, Jesus said, come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. And then he says, I will give rest unto your soul. It's not in the hurry and bustle and what everybody's concerned about in the world, the politics of this, the impeachment of that, the death of so-and-so, what Russia's doing or what everybody else is doing. So is the real thing, the important thing is, am I spending time with God the way I should? Am I praying for my loved ones the way I should? Am I being alone with God in a way that is a blessing in my life and then a blessing to others? The Lord's presence is more important than a lot of things everybody cares about. Thirdly and lastly, when we get ready to close, how will the Lord speak to me? How shall I know it's Him speaking to me? How will I know it's His voice? First of all, He will not speak to you as He did to prophets of old and apostles of old. The Bible's complete now. He doesn't need to give you a dream to speak to you. You've got His book. And you've got His book like for a long time in our history. We haven't had His book. The Israelites had to go to the temple or to the synagogue to even hear His book. And until Gutenberg invented the, what do they call that? The press. Yeah, until Gutenberg made the printing press, really nobody had a Bible except the copies that are held by the Catholic churches and so on, chained to a desk. But now you have His word. You have His word. I have His word. His word is now all over the internet. You can get it in any version and language you want to if you have a cell phone. You know, your little cell phone has now more data and ability to access information than our supercomputers had in the 1970s and 80s. And it's in your pocket. It's amazing. And so we have His word. He will open your eyes and lead you by His word. He will guide you by His Holy Spirit's leading, being the way that Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me, and a stranger they will not follow. How do I know it's the Holy Spirit's voice? Because it is in harmony with this book. Amen. We have the touchstone of truth. And so what was that? God said, oh, it's a great verse, and it just got away from me right now, but says, to the word and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this book, they are not of me. Amen. I love that verse. That's in the prophets of the Old Testament. If you look to Him with your circumstances, if you come to Him in prayer, as you look to Him to lead you and guide you and help you, He will speak to you. Sometimes He'll use others to speak to you that are in your life. Another Christian. Maybe a Christian who's walked through valleys of sorrows and broken hearts. And then they'll speak to you about everything will be okay. Don't worry about it. Don't stress about it. I've learned to just put it in God's hands right now. And you have to keep putting it there and keep putting it there and keep putting it there, keep putting it there. Every time it starts to stress you, keep putting it there, keep putting it there. And then one day you'll notice that for 2 or 3 weeks, you haven't even thought about it once. Why? Because he took it. And so people that genuinely care about you, your family, sometimes your pastor. What's wrong is when you go to your pastor before you go to your master. When you go to some other before you've gone to the great one. And then you say, Lord, should I do this? Should I talk to so-and-so? For years, I did counseling for free. People from other churches have come to me and said, don't tell my pastor. He might get jealous, but if I tell him, he's going to tell everybody in the church. So they'd come to me for help. And I would say, I always ask them this. I say, did you pray about this before you came to me? Did you talk to the Lord Jesus about this? Did you look in his word to see if there was an answer? Because if you haven't talked to him first, what I want you to do is we'll pray together, but I want you to go talk to the Lord first. Then come see me if you need help. You don't believe me? I did that. Wives in the church, they'd come to me after church or call me during the week and say, Pastor, I was wondering about this passage in the Bible. What does it mean? You know what my answer was? Did you ask your husband? Bible says if you have any questions, ask your husband first. 1 Corinthians 14. Amen? Then what happened one time? Husband called me and said, my wife asked me this. I don't know the answer. Can you help me, Pastor? Yes, sir, I can. This is what it means. But the wife called, no, you got to, did you ask your husband? Have to close now. You know it's the Lord not only when it agrees with his word, when he speaks to your heart, but he gives you a deep sense of your need of him and a deep sense of humility. If you look at verse 23. So I rose and went out into the plain, and behold, the glory of the Lord stood there like the glory which I saw by the river of Kibar. I fell on my face. When the Lord speaks to you, you say, oh, thank you, Lord. Who am I? And so it'll produce this deep sense of humility. I can't go on anymore because I'm out of time. But let me just ask you this. Do you have a place where you can be alone? I hate to use these illustrations, but even these guys knew about it. Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys had a hit song with In My Room. There's a place where I can go and ease my trouble, in my room. Do you have a room? Do you have a place where you can be alone with the Lord? When was the last time you spent 15 minutes there talking to him? When was the last, have you ever spent a half hour there? There's a missionary who went and preached to these Native Americans. He was back east. And the Native Americans, there was a clearing in the midst of the woods, and there was a place where, a little path where they had by to go to the creek, and there was another path they had to go by where they could look down on the deer or any animals that were down below. A lot of animals don't look up. And so he came and he preached, and God blessed in a mighty and wonderful way. This is a true story, by the way. And eventually, within the space of a couple months, every one of the Native Americans, the Indians, had not only given themselves to Christ, but were really, really wanting to know God. And they would go out and spend time with God. And sometimes the women would go out in the afternoon doing the morning chores. They'd find their way to their little place in the woods, their own little place. And they could see all these little paths now going out into the woods. Maybe this Mary, she took this path, that was her path, and they had their own little paths into the woods. And then it got to be to where a couple of them were growing cold in their love for Christ. And here and then, you would see that the path wasn't as well worn. And that's how they would correct one another. They would come to someone who was straying away from the Lord, and they would say, like to me, Brother Alan, I noticed the path, your path. The grass and weeds are growing over your path. You need to go spend time with the Lord. And that's just what we're doing here today, is all of us, including me, are being reminded in this two little verses in Ezekiel chapter 3, the importance of solitude and time alone with our God, with our Maker, with the one who loved us and gave himself for us. Lord, we pray that you will bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.